Thank you, Woody. And yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on. You heard it there in the update, but congratulations to the University of Miami baseball team after losing 17-6 the night before. They come back and beat Southern Miss in the final game and move on to Super Regional. And then also, Panthers leaving today, but congratulations to Alexander Barkov, man. We don't talk enough about him. The silent assassin, man. NHL's top defensive forward with the Selke Trophy, third time. He's won the award. Sam Reinhart finished second. And then the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, leadership qualities on and off the ice. Also an NHL award. And, of course, he's involved and has been, donate a lot of his own money, raised a lot of money for Joe DiMaggio's children. So a lot of great stuff going on with the team. And if you get a chance, take a look at the video from yesterday. It was pretty cool, really cool. And actually, it was kind of weird. What do you know what's weird about the whole thing? It seemed the general manager, like, he had a little personality and kind of opened it. And I was like, yeah, man, we don't get to see that part of him. He's one of the best GMs going for a guy. I mean, kind of one of the best in any sport right now. Showing a little personality. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool to see. And those guys, man, they are they're not only talented, but being able, you know what? Being talented is one thing. Playing together, playing the right way, is a whole different ball game, man. We talk about all the things. I hear everybody talk about playing the game right and how physical they are and forechecking and, you know, and we don't talk enough about how much talent they have on that team. Now, listen, man, ain't nobody – at the end of the day, there ain't no teams with just average-ass talent going all the way to the finals and winning championships. You got to have talent. And part of talent is playing great and big in big moments, and they got a bunch of guys. They got a bunch of guys that you've seen now for a couple years on the back of those jerseys that plus what they've added to this team. Anyway, we're going to be talking to Bill Lindsay. Gets up early with us. Not sure what time that plane's leaving today, but Billy Lindsay, Panthers color analyst here on WQAM and former Panther. Will join us here in a few minutes, and we'll talk to Billy about all this stuff. But kind of a cool day yesterday. That was fun to see Barkey getting some awards, and then on top of that, the baseball team. And by the way, JD's been under a lot of heat, man. And to see this team kind of bounce back and go on the road and win that tournament, that's pretty cool. Now getting to a super regional and see how they play against Louisville. Who's the number one seed in and at home. So we'll see what happens there. All right. So we've also been talking about some other things this morning. So Albert Breer from SI. I guess, hey, Woody, you asked me. It's a great question. Is this thing when guys say reset, is that rebuild? Like, somebody got to help
it's
me.
It's like a fancy word, fancy way of saying rebuild.
So now I've noticed recently some other people, because we don't like to all copy each other, and some of you have said it's a rebuild, and I don't think it's a rebuild. I see why you say that, but it's not a rebuild when you're keeping certain guys on the team.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is what we discussed last week, and we play the clip here. This is what these guys are discussing, and I asked this question last week. What is the vision? Like, what are they doing? What do the Dolphins do well? What is their vision for the future here? What are they? You know what I mean? Like, every team has an identity, right?
Right.
What do the Dolphins do well? Where do you feel like there's progress or there's a vision of some sort?
Mike's vision, I'm guessing, is to get whatever he lost last year that everybody figured out, whether it was too deep, they took, or whether it's the offensive line and he didn't want to call the offensive line out, but we couldn't throw the ball down the field after doing it at a record pace the 2 years before.
So that's not really like the answer. I'm like, all right, let's look like the Bills.
You got to help me.
So the Bills, what do the Bills do well?
The Bills have Josh Allen.
Yes. The Chiefs, what do they do well? They're really good on defense, and they have an elite quarterback.
So we just mentioned Patrick Mahomes, probably the two best quarterbacks
in football. What do the Eagles do well? They don't have you could make the case they don't have an elite quarterback. What are the Eagles? They're obviously
built well
in the trenches.
Yes.
Right? They run the ball.
Both sides. Yes. Last year. They were really good. Offensive line, the best in football.
My point is that these teams all have identities.
Yes.
And, like, you know, going into their season, whatever, like, what they do well. Where would the Dolphins I had asked you today, Joe, someone who doesn't know the Dolphins.
I don't know.
Hey, Joe, what do the Dolphins do well? What's their strength?
I don't know because I can't go past you got to work off the year before. We can't talk about what they did two years ago and 3 years ago.
You have to build around something like that your team does well? Don't you? Isn't that how you win?
Yes. Yes to your question.
All these other teams at least have an identity of something that they do well and they build around it.
Even
Kansas City, Kansas City built around their defense. Right? Their defense has been the driving force of, and I know Mahomes, I'm not taking away from what Mahomes has done, but their defense has been really,
really good. That guy,
until
that final game, he's had a great defense. No, forget that. I mean, Philly was clearly, seemed like a lot better than everybody, right?
Yes, they did.
But
they built the team in a certain way. Hell, 49ers are a good example. I know they fell off last year, but they were a consistent team for a long time.
Yep.
Defensively.
Yep.
Never a major offensive, force on that team, but
I think a lot of this, and I know a lot of my buddies, and I'm not going to say their names because we have to stay top secret, but they believe it's about trenches. They believe it's about D&O line. Real fundamental.
Yeah,
old school.
That's not the strength of this team, though.
Nope.
Not even close.
Not yet. Nope.
What would the strongest unit on this team be?
The strongest unit on this team.
And it's sad that you have to think about that because if I asked you that about any of those other good teams.
I'm going by experience and stuff, so it'd be inside linebacker and wide receiver would be 1 and 2. That would be it.
Okay.
I don't know if you – Waddle.
I mean, if they have a better season.
No, but they're really good players. They're whatever anybody says because their numbers are off. Waddle and Tyreek Hill are really good. They're still really good. I know Waddle didn't get as many targets, and I know he dropped a few too many footballs. And Tyreek, but like I don't think Tyreek Hill's gonna have 2,000 yards, but I don't think he's coming back and have 900 and something yards either. They added another wide receiver that looks like he can help him. But Woody, to your point. We got holes in this team. Like, really, you've got areas that look pretty good, and then you've got some areas that there's holes. Honestly, I tell you, if Bradley Chubb was healthy and Jalen Phillips was healthy, like completely healthy right now, and they have a history now of some injuries to go with Chubb, I tell you, that's the strongest group. And I hope it ends up being that in a few months, but this team's got major holes in it. The defensive secondary, they're not a whole work. Let me give you a good one. I want to see the amount of starts. Forget playing time, and he was a good backup, and he played in a certain amount of games after guys were injured. But the amount of starts that we have in our defensive secondary. Minus Kader Kohou, who's got a whole bunch of starts since he's been on the team and been a great story as a rookie free agent. We just don't have a lot of experience back there. That scares me. It's all right to have one or two of those guys. But when you start looking at your top five or six guys in the amount of starts, minus Kader Kohou, who's got more than all of them, you're looking at a lot of young guys. Cam Smith, Storm Duck, Ethan Bonner. They're not a whole lot there, man. Not a whole lot of starts in that group. And the secondary, safeties, same deal. So that scares you. And you got some new pieces on the old line. So anyway, hey, we're going to go to break here.
That's kind of a concerning thing, though, right? Like that
this
we're,
team,
we're at
I
this
don't
point
think
in...
anybody feels as good about this team as they did the last 2 years. Not even close. If you do, you're...
Oh, but like we're in OTAs, we're in minicamp. I mean, there's not a whole lot more you could do with the roster right now, except lose players. And
there's not a whole lot you can add. There might be veteran cornerback.
Joe, you might lose your tight end and you might lose your I guess Jalen's gone, but
Jalen's gone. Tyreek's here. And as I said,
now,
as I said before, the only
these guys were talking about. You want to? We can play the clip if you want. But those guys were talking about maybe trading Tyreek.
But that Mike Florio does that. Tyreek's not going anywhere.
Well, I wouldn't say.
By the
that.
Way, if the team gets rid of Tyreek and Jonnu Smith and Jalen Ramsey, then it's a full blown. All bets are off.
I wouldn't say never though. Like you've made that mistake before.
You can talk about my mistakes. You think all three of those guys
are going to
be gone?
No, but I'm saying, like, I wouldn't say never. Someone came up to the Dolphins and offered him a first-round pick.
Who's going to give a number one pick for Tyreek Hill at this point?
I have no idea. That's what these guys are talking about, though.
I heard it. I heard it. But, like, seriously.
Can we play it for you real quick?
No, I don't need to hear it. I got to go to break because I got Billy Lindsay's coming on at 7:25.
We got a couple minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Miami Dolphins are probably the hardest team to talk about in the NFL at this point because I don't know what the plan is. I would guess our boss Peter King used to always say this: if we can give Mike McDaniel sodium pentothal and ask him this question, right? But is this really who he wants at quarterback going into the season? And I'm sick of the vitriol that comes from people asking this question. It's a legitimate question, and
yeah,
you know, you're still not making any meaningful upgrades to this scheme that. And I think that Mike McDaniel is probably the most brilliant.
Here's
one of the most brilliant play callers in the NFL. But there's no meaningful difference to your offense year in and year out, and it just keeps breaking down.
I'm gonna ask you a pointed question that I think will tell you a lot about your own feelings on the team. If someone comes and offers a first round pick for Tyreek Hill, do you trade him?
Yes.
And I think that tells you everything about what that team is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I just think I feel like they've gotten to the point now where it's just I think we know what they are with this core of players, and I think they've subtly started to tell us, you know, in peeling off some pieces, you know, that they need to reset.
Jeez.
Reset.
It's all
kind, kinder way of saying
rebuild. I thought it was raining outside.
Oh, it's raining.
It's raining. It's
on flood days.
Reset. That's the new one, the reset. All right, listen.
So
I know.
Do you want to backtrack a little? Like,
no, I'm not.
What percent you want to put this on the we've done
you
this
think,
already?
So
Tyreek
you think,
even makes it to training camp.
Tyreek Hill will be at camp.
Okay.
Tyreek
said all the right stuff at OTAs.
Tyreek Hill will not be traded. They friggin' need him. And by the way, you might as well tell you, if you just did, I don't think it's going to happen. Tyreek Hill's going to be here. Jalen Ramsey's going to be gone. And Jonnu Smith, I don't know. But I think he's going to be here. But I got to tell you, if for some reason Tyreek Hill, Jalen Ramsey, and Jonnu Smith are all gone, there's nothing you can do as a coach and get up there and go, we still feel great about this team. You get rid of those three guys, a really good pass-receiving tight end, a really good wide receiver, and your best cover corner. He's not what he was, but he's still the best you have. He went against the best guys all last year, whether he was out there. Then all bets would be off. And I would be totally wrong because I don't think two of them are going to happen. Anyway, we got to go to break here. We got more stuff to get to. We'll talk about that with Kyle Krabs coming up at 8 o'clock. Bill Lindsay's going to join us. How about a nice feel-good story instead of, give me bad news, Joe. Give me some really good news. The Panthers, game one, Edmonton, tomorrow night. Star power going to be there, boy. That is going to be. Does anybody have more pressure on him than Connor McDavid? Seriously. And by the way, Leon Draisaitl ain't far behind. But Connor McDavid, the pride of Canada, he not representing just Edmonton. That guy's representing Canada. How's that for pressure? What are you laughing about, Jerky?
Oh, I like that. It's funny.
All right. Hey, right now I want to tell you about Baptist Health South Florida. Oh, my gosh. I got to tell you one thing we can all agree on, the Dolphins and the Panthers. It sure is nice to have Baptist Health South Florida sports medicine program to take care of a lot of our teams, professional teams like Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins, FIU, FAU. Boy, they're really good. And once you put together not only the team doctors who do a great job, and then from there you go to the team doctors and they send you to these specialists who are really good, great reputations, so many high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, from all over the country, come here to get their operations done or to get a second opinion for knee, shoulder, foot and ankle, hand specialist, back specialist, hip and knee replacement, Achilles. We got doctors now that do nothing but hip and knee replacement and Achilles. That's how the problem, how bad the problems become down here. And listen, they got some great ones, and they got great facilities for South Florida to enjoy. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, where I got my surgeries done. But also at Hard Rock Stadium, right next to the training facility, and 595 in Pine Island in Plantation. That's Dr. Swartzen territory out there. Just visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho. One go every day for all of them. Great doctors who are really good and know how to get you healthy back out playing the sports you love the most.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you. We got a big sports business trip to get to here. Panthers on their way to Edmonton for game one tomorrow night. Bill Lindsay, Panthers color analyst on WQM, joins us. Billy, good morning. You lucky son of a gun, you. Hey, man.
We're in a roll.
There's nothing bad. There's nothing bad with this team, man. They're tight. They're talented. They play the right way. Friggin' awards are given out. The Barkov thing yesterday was friggin' awesome. I must have watched it five times yesterday. Getting the Selke Trophy as well as the King Clancy Memorial Trophy. And just, let's start with Barkey. Nobody talks about just how good he is. I know they do in hockey and everybody's aware of it. He's one of the best players. But what do we miss on that guy as his leadership? And he's a quiet leader. He's not one of those guys that gets up in front of everybody and screams and yells.
Well, Joe, first off, it is what you saw yesterday. What do you do when people aren't looking? Correct?
Yes.
Well, he does a ton. He puts in the work off the ice, but he also does the stuff with Joe DiMaggio. This is character through and through, and it's done with humility. It's done with grace. Barkov doesn't view himself as that superstar through his own lens. He still feels like, I got to work. I got to do everything I can. When you watch him in practice, it is unbelievable, the effort that he goes with. And when you're a captain of a team, you have to set the example, and the way this team plays, and under Paul Maurice, it has to be hard, it has to be driven. Well, Barkov's the guy that sets the tempo for that whole dressing room. It doesn't have to be loud. You don't have to get in there and scream a bunch of words. I'm sure when he does talk, people are definitely going to listen. If Barkov walked into that room one time and said, this isn't good enough, everyone would be like, yes, absolutely, okay, let's go. He has that kind of power, but to me, the most important thing that you see with Barkov is the humility off the ice, the work ethic, and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, so many great stories. So I was just talking about who's got the pressure and the home ice and all that stuff, and I know you talked with these guys about it while I was gone, but nobody's got more pressure on them than Connor McDavid, the best player in hockey, Canada, because it's not just an Edmonton thing. Tell me if I'm wrong. It's about Canada getting a cup back up there, and he's the lead guy. Is there anybody plays under more pressure than Connor McDavid?
No, it's right. Connor McDavid's the leader, right? But it's the Michael Jordan of the NHL at this time, the Wayne Gretzky back in his day. He's one of those guys that transforms the game, and he's had to live under that microscope since he's 16 years old. He's got used to the pressure, and that's what's scary about this series is that superstars, if you look at them, they tend to try and drag their team and win a championship and carry them over the finish line. You have to be able, not so much to control them, but you have to be able to contain Connor McDavid if you're going to want to have a chance. They're a little bit more rested, a little bit more deep this year than they were last year. And Connor McDavid has learned to thrive under pressure. He does not wilt. And this is the guy that you're going forward to, best player in the game, going up against a really good team in the Florida Panthers. Joe, this series has pretty much everything that you'd want, and it's doubled, I guess, the intrigue of last year, even with the best player in the world on the biggest stage again.
Let me ask you about Zach Hyman out. I know another one of their best players. How much that hurt this team, getting hurt in that last series?
Yeah, quite a bit. It changed his game. He's a goal scorer, but he plays on those top two lines, second power play unit, penalty kill. He does a lot of things for the Oilers, but had 59 hits in 73 games in the regular season, had 110 hits in whatever they played, 16 games in the postseason. That was around 10 hits a game. A physical presence that the Oilers didn't have a lot of. So they will miss Zach Hyman. On the backside of that, they got Matthias Ekholm back in that last game against the Dallas Stars. And he's a real legit good defenseman. And you look at their defensive core compared to last year with Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, Ekholm, this Jake Wallman kid that has been really good everywhere that he's been. They've added a lot to that blue line. It's a lot more stout than it was last year when we faced them. So Zach Hyman out is a miss for the Oilers, but the well-rounded group with the defenseman, and the question mark is in goal with Skinner. It's the Forrest Gump. It's a bag of chocolates. You never know what you're going to be great. It can be sensational, and it can be kind of bad at times. So that's one of the keys to watch on in this series.
Hey, Bill, playing the game and now sitting up there, part of the radio broadcast, and listen, we all look at stat sheets. As a former player, the biggest stat that you look at that usually says, besides the score, that the Panthers are playing well, what is it? Is it hits? Is it what do you look at?
Yeah, I'm looking more at zone time, is what you're doing off the forecheck, and how if teams are dumping the puck in against you, if they're stopping the speed game. I guess that would be the number one thing for me, Joe. When we've got hurt in these playoffs against Toronto, it was the speed game for Toronto through the middle of the ice that was causing some problems. We didn't have that heavy forecheck. We weren't able to hem them in their zone for the games that they won, and all of a sudden that speed just came blitzing back at us. Carolina had a really good rush game. That was apparent in game number one. We made some adjustments. We were able to slow that down. There's a physicality, there's an edge, and you can tell when they're right. And Paul Maurice talks about this. He says, my team's right, I'm okay. If it's not right, then it gets a little bit worried. But a lot of that has to do with that heavy forechecking mentality and shutting down the speed through the middle of the ice coming back the other way. And there will be no greater test in shutting down speed when you're looking at what this Edmonton Oilers team brings to the table. That's kind of what I look at when this team is right, is that they're controlling that neutral zone, and it's a heavy, heavy, heavy forecheck that they're presenting to the other club.
Yeah, the stats. I know the Panthers are 8-2 on the road this season. Oilers, I think, are 6-1 at home, and by the way, the Panthers, man, especially recently in the last two series, they've been clobbering. They clobbered Toronto at the end of the series and clobbered Carolina. They just don't – it doesn't – this home ice stuff, and I know Edmonton's got a – you know, it's loud there like everywhere else, but this team doesn't seem to be affected by it.
You can drop the puck in Alaska. Wherever, it just doesn't matter, and that's part of why they were able to rest players down the stretch. They weren't concerned with the standings as much as being healthy going into these playoffs, and that was the main reason, and it paid off. And this team knew that they could win on the road. They scored a bunch of goals on the road, I believe, outscoring their opponents 27-7 during this winning streak, which is remarkable, and it's remarkable in its own right. But when you have that veteran leadership in that room, and you bring on a player like Brad Marchand, it just doesn't matter. Just drop the puck. It's going to be incredibly loud. Edmonton's one of the loudest buildings I've ever heard in my life. So there will be a home ice advantage as far as the crowd. And what the Panthers have been able to do, they've been able to take those crowds out of the games early, some good first periods. That has to continue here as you go up to Edmonton. And you're at least looking for a split when you go up to Edmonton. But this team has been phenomenal on the road, and it just shows a lot about their character and their drive and mentality. They just don't care where they play.
This third line has been one of the great stories of this team. A team full of great stories, by the way, because you hate it because everybody knows how deep the team's been, what they've added. But that third line led by Marchand is I don't think anybody saw this much production coming, if we're to all be honest. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. I'm not sure we would see this, but it's been a separator. It causes a matchup for the other team's coach. Who are you going to match up against? You got Barkov, and then you got the Tkachuk line, and then you have this Lofgren line with Lundell and Marchand. They're all really good, 200-foot players. And the beauty of it, Marchand comes in here, captain, original six team, Stanley Cup champion. 37 years old is just wound for sound. He's a ball of fun. And one of the nicest guys. I know he's hated off the ice. Not hated, but disliked.
Yeah.
A lot. But when you get him on your team, you truly love him, man. He was running the other day through the corridor, just screaming, "Old man, come up!" I was like, "Yeah, this guy still has the juice." But he's been able to really impart a lot of his wisdom on Lundell and Luo Srinen, kind of push offensively. He knows they're good defensively, and Marchand's one of the greatest defensive wingers that we've ever had in the NHL. He's able to push Lundell, Luo Srinen. Let's go. When we have the puck on the stick, let's make some plays. Let's go. We know we're good defensively. Helped out in the dressing room. Plumery's talked about him on the bench, always being lively, never getting down. So Marchand coming over, and it's a round peg and a round hole. Just another brilliant move by the GM, Bill Zito.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, we do have more guys, though. If they're on your team, you love them. And if you're playing against them, most of the fan bases and players don't like them. I think we'd lead right with that if I was to throw in Bennett, Marchand in there.
Tkachuk.
And Tkachuk, of course. Yeah, how do I? And Matthew Tkachuk. I mean, it is great, man. I got to tell you, I love when everybody talks about it because they're up now in Edmonton going, can they play the physical style of play? Can they keep up with it? And they're going, we're not soft. And everybody has to answer this. And then they go, and they're dirty sometimes and chippy. How do you handle it? I think it's the biggest compliment you can give to everything they're saying about how the way this Panther team plays.
Well, they play hockey the right way. All this that they talk about, the dirty hits, or it's physicality and it's bred out of their system. But when you watch, this team gets blasted with hits, and they make plays. Marchand did it on the goal the other night in Carolina. He was able to set it up, and it gets into the middle of the ice, and Rodriguez ends up scoring the goal. But he got blasted with a hit. He stood in there and made a play. Our defenseman, when they go in 50-50 puck battles, who's coming out with the puck? It's the Panthers because of this grind mindset that's in their mind. It's also finish every check. So you see the end result sometimes in the plays that end up with the hits. But it's a built-in philosophy with this team. Like, it is balls to the wall as long as you can go and as hard as you can go. And that's the importance of this style. And they've gone out and found a group of guys that love each other and that are committed to playing this way. And I go back to 96 and the guys that I had. You respect the guy so much in the dressing room sitting beside you just because of their effort and their talent that you have to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. By the way, we haven't talked much about that year was special. And I know you guys came up short against Colorado, but I felt like you had a bunch of guys had a chip on your shoulder to start with, felt like other teams didn't want you because you had to go through the new team draft and get only certain guys you couldn't hold on to, and they were taking them, and guys were probably half salty about that. But the way you guys played, man, just the effort every night and some of the great teams you beat in that run, it's kind of the way these guys play.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see this team, Joe, and what they've been able to accomplish. We weren't as talented as this group on the ice, but it was the same sort of identity. Like, let's go, let's everything. And I've learned so much from those players, the Strudel and the Mellenbeek of the world. And if you're a young player on this team, having a Barkov, having a Reinhardt, having all these older guys, Marchand, to kind of look at. And the way that they play hockey, it's the right way. It's with dedication. It's with passion. And you're going to give it all that you have, whether you win or whether you lose. You never hardly ever see this team lose because of the lack of effort.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of sold out. And I had so much respect looking across the room at my teammates and what they were doing. And that's why we're in the golden era of Panther hockey at this very moment. Just because of the guys they put together and assembled. They're very, very similar to a lot of that group that we had in 96. Just a little bit more talented, Joe.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Hey, Billy, before you go, is it normal when you travel a couple of hours to like this, to, or a couple of time zones away, that you guys leave a day before the game? Or did you guys, do some teams leave earlier? Or how's everybody treat that?
Yeah, during the playoffs, I believe we flew right from Pittsburgh to Colorado because of Game 7 when I was in it. During the regular season, there might be some different setups if you're going to be out there for the while. But they have the sleep studies now, everything that goes into
right.
it. There's a complete, like, this is so detailed, everything that they're understanding is, as far as the travel, how does it work best. There's way more thought process that goes back into our day where
I see
goes
it.
Into it. So
yeah.
whenever they leave or whatever they're doing, there's a method to the madness.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. There's no question. Old sports science is working, man, for guys sleeping on the plane to what they're getting, the whole deal. You're right. Billy, thank you, man. Have a great trip,
right.
And good luck with
all
everything.
Right, all right, thanks, Joe. Appreciate right. it. Enjoy it.
All right, can't wait. Can't wait, man. Are you kidding me? Billy Lindsay, Panthers color analyst on WQAM, joining us. You can hear all the games right here on Sports Radio 560 WQAM tomorrow night. Do want to take a moment here to tell you about protecting your home, man. Hurricane season is here, and is protect your home time with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. Okay, so you got a leaky roof. And right now you're feeling this rain going, we're trying to get through one more year, and then we're going to save up. Well, replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials, lifetime warranty, plus thousands of five-star reviews. Cover all of South Florida for you. And by the way, say big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, that's LoctiteImpact.com. Or call 954-500-LOCK. Talk to one of their professionals out there and let Loctite Impact go to work for you.
And now. It's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody. What do you have for us today?
All right, Joel, started off a little college baseball here. And I don't know if you caught this, but the Coastal Carolina baseball coach got into a little bit here. His name is Kevin Schnall. And Kevin O'Sullivan is the Gators coach. Gators were playing in the regional up there, and something happened where their game was like postponed by like an hour. It was pushed by an hour, and
yeah,
this guy Kevin O'Sullivan, who I guess is a lunatic, went nuts and was screaming at people and cursing at people, like the grounds crew and the associate AD at Coastal Carolina, and just acting like a complete clown. And the coach of Coastal Carolina actually addressed it. Here's what he said.
One last thing I have is I have to say this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but you know, I believe in standing up for what's right. And what transpired this morning on our field, another coach disrespected our associate AD, who works as hard as anybody in our entire program. He disrespected our field crew, who are the salt of the earth. These guys would do anything for our program. It's not okay. And this needs to be brought up. Absolutely disrespectful. As a coach, it's our job to mentor young kids. And the way he treated the two site reps, the way he treated our associate AD, the way he treated our field crew, is absolutely unacceptable. And I'm really, that's what I'm most disappointed about. This is a national champion coach who thinks he can come in here and try to bully people around. Disappointed. Disappointed somebody that a lot of coaches look up to. For him to act that way, really disappointed. He disrespected a Hall of Fame coach who's the site rep here. That's all I got to say.
Thought it was great.
It's pretty good.
That was great.
Boy, these SEC guys, man, they just, some of them seem to carry themselves a certain way, huh?
Hey, man. Led by their commissioner.
You guys are Coastal Carolina. You're going to do what we want.
Yeah. Not going to.
We run the show here. They lost, by the way. So it all worked out well.
Did they?
Yeah. Canes didn't. Canes are moving on.
Yeah, they are, man. What a good for JD, man. Great for the program.
All right, and since you've ran a little long here, Joe, I got one more for you here. We got our cover athlete for Madden 26. It is going to be Saquon Barkley.
No brainer.
He will be on the cover of the new video game doing that that
Should
hurdle.
Be. Yeah.
Remember that hurdle he did?
That hurdle's good for business with the kids.
Yep, so he will be on the front of that game here now. Of course, you have the Madden curse, which you remember who was on it last year, who was on the cover?
No, who was it?
Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, not good.
Yeah,
all the injuries came back.
Yeah, he did not play much last season. Christian McCaffrey. The Madden curse, man. They say that's a real thing. It's around. Like the Kardashian curse.
We got to go back because somebody's probably kept track of everybody that's been on the cover. See how it's gone.
Oh, people have, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a whole long list of people that have gotten hurt. I don't know if I buy that, but...
He says it's no problem. Hey, I feel a lot better with that offensive line running to.
By the way, did you see a retirement of Pro Bowl center for the Lions, 29 years old?
I saw that.
I'm done. Wow. You don't see that very much.
Good timing, too.
A lot of those old offensive linemen go, hey, I'm staying around. Money's getting good now. I'm staying around here. Hey, we've got the 8 o'clock hour coming up here. Woody, Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fence podcast and NFL analyst for A to Z Sports. And our guy that comes on, we'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins as we're kind of waiting. One thing we do know, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is the June 1st date that everybody's kind of curious about when it's going to happen. And what we're going to get back. Anyway, we'll talk more about the Dolphins coming up here. And to the Panthers, man, on their way this morning to Edmonton for game one tomorrow night. So we got Stanley Cup Finals game one, man. Can't wait. Can't wait to see that one, man. That's going to be fun. All right. Hey, some serious business to get to here. Let's be real, life hits hard serious here. Anxiety, depression, maybe the drinking's gotten a little out of hand for you. Hey, it doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're human. And a lot of people have gone through it, been through it myself. And I just want to let it know to everybody out there, whether it's been drinking, whether it's been anxiety or depression, it's something a lot of people are going through and find you a little down in a funk and can't get out of it. Recovery Unplugged in Fort Lauderdale. Pretty good way to go. These folks get it done. They've helped 19,000 people in 13 years with treatment for mental health and substance abuse led by expert doctors and therapists who build a plan around you. Inpatient, outpatient, virtual care. They've got a program for you, and you can get results. And if you need it, what are you waiting for? Most insurance is accepted. Need a reset? Recovery Unplugged is your spot. Call 954-737-4508 or visit recoveryunplugged.com. Recovery Unplugged, heal out loud.